Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Duncan Larson. I'm the Director of Senior Services at the Colorado Center for the Blind. And with me are Anahit Labar and Chris Parsons, both wonderful instructors in our Senior Services program. And they will be talking about technology and, in particular, different apps that might be useful for seniors to use. So could we just get a quick idea of who's on the call and if you have a particular question? Would someone
Judy
start?
Sanders. Judy Sanders.
Okay, Judy.
Charlie Judy. Brown.
Mary Songson.
Susie Stanzel.
Hi, Susie.
Mary McGinty.
Okay. Anybody else?
And
Robert
Mayer.
Newman. Yes. Boy, I would love to find a color identifier that really works.
Okay. Yes. Color identifier.
Really? And I guess I'd like to know more about using the, this is Ruth, the money identifier and the and using, I guess, PayPal or something like that.
Okay.
Shelley Koppel, and I would love to learn how to, you know, a little more about maybe shopping online, but maybe, I mean, with your phone, but maybe that gets into more than we can do. But I'm open for anything.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I'll let Anahit and Chris go ahead and start. Now they have some things prepared, and then they will also answer these questions.
Okay, so this is Anahit. Hello, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Do let me know if you cannot hear me, please. So
we have a few requests.
Color identifier, money reader, and shopping. And when Chris and I were going over possible apps to discuss, the few that have come up, I am sure a lot of you know about. But I still wanted to talk about, I will talk briefly about seeing AI, and I am sure most of you are familiar with it and are using it. Is that am I assuming correctly?
Maybe not.
No.
That's good.
Okay,
that
good.
Means you're going to learn something new and something.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have muted themselves, Anahit,
yeah,
so it's hard to kind of go back and forth. But I think a lot of people may have heard of it but don't really know how to use it.
Okay, well, great. So when we were going over the apps to discuss, this is exactly what I thought we should do,
mm-hmm.
discuss how to use it rather than what all it does, because it's like having six or seven different apps within one app. And Seeing AI at this point is only available on an iOS operating system, not available for Androids, but I don't really think Androids are overly accessible to begin with. So let me go quickly over what Seeing AI is. It is an application that will address many, many of and including the color identification and the money identification. And I will tell you personally, color identification was not on my top list at all with Seeing AI because it did not work very well. However, I do think they have done something. Whatever they have done it right, and it's working much, much, much better now. So let me cover quickly the different possibilities that it has. So first of all, let me tell you one important thing. So it works both with and without VoiceOver. So you have it on your iPhone. You need to download it from the App Store. It is an absolutely free app, and offers a lot as a free app. So once you download it from the App Store, you know, if you have, if yourself or you know somebody who, if you use a voiceover or do not, it will still work in both cases. So if you do not use voiceover, it has its own voice. The problem is it will not speak once you touch the screen. It won't tell you what you're touching. So voiceover is definitely a very good way to go. Where you run into trouble a lot with these apps is that they are not created with screen reader in mind. What I mean by that is that a lot of apps that have their own voice, when you turn voiceover on, you end up with two voices. Good situation. So with this particular one, you either have the voice of the app itself or you have the voice over. So the way this app operates is it has what they call channels. And each channel you can view as like a separate app. So remember, we have like a separate money identifier app and the separate caller identifier app. It's like seven in one. All of these are in there as separate channels. So let me very quickly go over what the channels are that are very useful in the Seeing AI. By the way, it stands for Artificial Intelligence App. There is a short text channel that is beyond useful for quick identification of a printed material. So let's say, you know, you went to an event and you got five different business cards, and you want to find out who those business cards belong to. So it's a great way to do that, and I'll explain how very quickly in a minute. But so short text is a great channel. You can identify, let's say you have a box of some sort and you don't know what it is. Let's say you got sorting through mail and things like that. Those are all the aspects that short text channel is very good for. The next channel is documents, and that is kind of the same purpose as the KNFB reader used to be used to accomplish, and that was the only good app to do it. The downside about the documents is that there, at this point, I don't believe there is an ability to save those documents that you scan within the app. You have to save it like on your drive or on a Google Drive or in your files. That's the downside, but it really does work very well. Another very useful channel is Money Identifier. It works really well. You don't have to even unfold your money. You can have it folded, just hold it over, and again, I'll go over all these in a minute. It works pretty well. Caller Identifier, I would say the only thing that we found was lighting is extremely important. So making your light as natural as possible is very important. So let's say in the morning, you know, if you have a window or something like that, you know, that you can be near, that probably would be the best way. The more inside light you have, the less your chances are that you, you know, the caller identifier is going to get it right. Let's see, handwriting is another very, very useful feature. It actually does read handwriting and does a very, very good job. And here's my most favorite is products. It reads barcodes. So you can pick up, you know, a box. If you have three different boxes of cake mix, you can pick it up, find the barcode, and very quickly it will read to you what it is. In some cases, you will also find directions with that barcode. So those are the channels that we found useful within this app. It also has a channel that is, I believe, very useful for people who have no residual vision at all, and that's the light detector. So if you hold your telephone, I'll start with this one. If you hold your phone with the camera side up, in other words, just flip it, screen facing the bottom, and the camera facing up, and you have it on that light channel, so it will make a certain higher pitch noise, and that means your light is on. So you can actually leave that telephone on the table and walk to the switch and flip the switch, and the pitch will change. So it's a really, really good, useful feature, super easy to operate. You can definitely tell the difference between the pitches when the light is on or off. Any questions about that one?
I guess not.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're going to move.
I think that's great. That's a very cool ability for that.
I think so, too, especially a lot of homes now have a feature where, you know, if you go to this end of the room and you flip the switch up, then the light turns on, and then you go to the other end of the room and you flip it down, then it's off. Well, it's hard to keep track of which position is what.
That's right.
So this is great to identify, you know, is your light on or off. Okay, so let me talk about the features that are very, very useful. As I said, the money identification is super easy. You don't even have to unfold the bill. Just the key is with any of these channels, I would say 90% of your success of reading is how you align the camera to what you're going to read. So remember that the phone is going to receive the information through the camera. So knowing where your camera is very important. So let's say you are trying to identify what money is. So aligning your camera with whatever the bill is, and then lifting it up slightly, it will literally say within a couple of seconds what that bill is.
How far should you lift the camera up?
I would probably say about 3 to 5 inches. It will read, you know, if it's not saying it, get it a little bit closer. But especially if it is folded, remember the number is in the corner of your bill, right? So that's kind of, if you line up your camera properly, it should read it right away. And don't hold it way too high, because then it's going to pick up all kinds of things that are around your dollar bill or whatever it is. Any questions on that? Okay. So another really useful feature I found, well, two of them are short text and products. So products, it can read barcodes. And I have had so many different apps that read barcodes. And then we also, of course, have that scanner that is about $1,200. So this is a free way. It gives you access to a lot of barcodes. The database they have is quite large, and they even read store brand barcodes. What I really, really appreciate about this app, as opposed to others, is that it's much easier to find the barcode. And I have worked with quite a few people, and you know, the more you do it, the more you identify super low-tech techniques to use this high-tech equipment. Because, you know, for example, on cans, if you can find, you know, canned goods, right, if you can find that seam, I understand that for some people it's difficult to feel that. But remember, it's a paper that is wrapped around that can, and it has a seam. So if you can identify that seam, your barcode literally is immediately to the left or immediately to the right of it. Most likely it's to the left. And so what I do, what has worked with a lot of people, is to keep your phone as steady as possible. And a good way to do it is if you can literally set it or lean it towards the edge of the table, and you kind of like attaching that phone, pretending that the table, the edge of the table, is a stand for it. And then you're not worried about your hand shaking or any of that. I have carpal tunnel, and so it's very difficult for me to hold my hand steady. So this has really made a big difference, and I find that with a lot of seniors that it's kind of difficult to hold your hand steady. So this is a very low-tech technique that helps. So holding your phone towards the edge of the table, and then you just grab whatever you're trying to read, whether that's a box or a can, and slowly turn it, and it will just make the noise of identifying that barcode. And once it made the noise, you can use regular voiceover gestures, get around the screen, and read the information that it is giving you. That's the barcode identification. In some cases, it does not work because it is not in the database. In that case, short text is a great solution because, you know, just like we know, for example, on a can of beans, your barcode is going to be right to the left of that seam. The seam is going to be kind of in the back of the can. So if you put that seam away from you and you're facing the can, text will read to you what it says on it. Same goes for boxes of, I don't know, cake mix, crackers, things like that. We read the other day with a senior that I was working with the nutrition facts of a particular product that we were mm-hmm. looking at because he's diabetic, and so it's very important to him, you know, what the carbs are and what, you know, the sugars are and all that. So it actually read all that with just the short text that identifying. So, for example, you know, a lot of us have readers, right, that come, I don't know, every other week and go through mail with us or something like that. So instead of having, you know, 27 envelopes for that reader, I will have 10 because I have already eliminated a lot of them because we know the return address, the most part, is in the top left corner of the envelope. So again, aligning your camera, again, low-tech solution, right? So aligning your camera to that side and lifting it just a little bit, you know, because the larger the piece of paper, the farther up you need to lift your phone. And you don't even have to take a picture. You don't have to do anything. It will just read for you. If you are not finding the text in the top left corner, just flip the envelope, and it's at the top of the back. So because a lot of times that's where people stamp their return address. Mm-hmm. So the documents section works exactly pretty similar to what KNFB reader was. So, you know, same idea. You need to align your camera in the middle of the document, lift it up. It will actually tell you if your top left edge is not visible or bottom right edge is not visible. Adjust it accordingly. You don't even have to take a picture. It does it on its own. It will say, hold steady, and it will take the picture. And then again, you need to know voiceover gestures, or there is actually a play button on the screen. You can just press that, and it will read the entire document to you. So I know this is a lot of information, but Chris also has some good apps, so I don't want to take up the entire time with this. I do want to encourage all of you, if you have questions about it or anything like that, do reach out because it truly is a very, very good resource. I use it a lot. If I go into, you know, meetings or something like that and somebody hands me something, it's a quick, easy, free way for me to access information. And, you know, that way I don't have to wait until I get home and scan it and then read it, and then it's too late because the meeting has gone by already. So I think this app is developed by Microsoft, and I think Microsoft has done a fantastic job with it. There are still, you know, things that we would like to improve, but I think overall, for it being a free app, it is truly incredible.
Great.
Question.
Yes.
Question.
Go ahead.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Abiyo, Sukari, Emporia, Kansas. You said it would be reading handwriting. That's why I have the problem. So if I now say, write my name down with this number, is the handwriting going to be in cursive script or joint script for it to read that to you?
It does it all. It really does. Unless you are a doctor, then it doesn't read.
No, I'm not doing the prescription writing, regular Roman writing.
Yes, so it actually does a really good job. Again, the key is with handwriting, I did find, because somebody can hand you a piece of paper and you don't know where exactly on the paper they wrote,
right,
if you have no vision at all. So in that case, try to capture the entire paper. Handwriting setting works a little bit differently. You actually need to take a picture like you would do with a KNFB reader. So you align your camera with the sheet of paper, put it in the middle, lift it up, and just touch the screen. It will say take picture. You tap twice. It captures the image, and then your image is on the screen. And again, you just use regular voiceover gestures, nothing special, to get through the screen and read what it captured. Now, do keep in mind, this is not perfect. So some people's handwriting is not easy to read. I will tell you that we have an aunt that nobody could ever read her handwriting except for seeing AI. It actually read it. So in some cases, it's amazing the handwriting it can decipher, but not everybody's handwriting is perfect. But it is, I would say, 80% accurate, and 80% of the time it actually gets what's written.
Thank you.
Of course.
Are there any other questions about seeing AI? Okay.
All right,
like
Chris,
do you want to start?
Right.
In? Okay.
Absolutely. This is Chris, and another app that I really like and that can actually do similar things to what Seeing AI does, but in a different way, is Be My Eyes. And what Be My Eyes is it's a free app also. It is available on both iOS and Android. And what it does is it allows you to make a video call to a volunteer who can basically lend you their eyes for a moment for something that you need. Because as Anahit was talking about, you know, sometimes seeing AI can't read handwriting. Sometimes, well, all color identifiers on the iPhone are flawed to an extent just because of lighting concerns. But sometimes you just need sighted assistance, or it's more efficient to do that than to maybe try to read a document with Seeing AI, you know, 5 or 10 times. Because Seeing AI is artificial intelligence, which is a lot more intelligent than it used to be. But Be My Eyes allows you to connect to a sighted volunteer to ask them a question. So you call on your phone, you go into the app, and it's very easy to use. There's very few buttons in the app. There's a big button that says call first available volunteer. So you will press that, tap that button, and it will connect you with the first available volunteer that meets your credentials, your specifications, which are that they speak the language that you specified in your profile when you signed up. And they are also, they connect you, the Be My Eyes system connects you with someone who speaks your language, who is, you know, in a time zone that makes sense. So if you're calling at, you know, midnight, you're not going to get someone in the United States. If you're calling from the United States in midnight, you're going to get someone from a different country. Because, you know, they want to make sure that, the app isn't intrusive to people. So, excuse me. The calls can be as basic or as in-depth as you need. It's a good idea, though, when you call, if you have something that's going to take a while, like maybe identifying your whole set of spices,
You may want to let them know that at the beginning, that it's going to be something that's going to be a little bit more involved and make sure that, you know, they're all right with that. But BMI eyes can be used for really pretty much anything that you can think of. I typically use it for color identification because I feel like seeing AI does help me in a lot of other ways. But you can use it for really identifying pretty much anything. If you, you know, for example, here's one where seeing AI would not be able to help you. If you dropped something, an earring or something, on the floor and you used all of your alternative techniques that you had and you just could not find it, you could call BMI Eyes. They'll help you adjust your camera. You know, they'll tell you which camera the app is using and help you adjust it to, so that they can see through the camera, and they'll help you locate the object. So they are volunteers, so that is definitely a good thing to keep in mind. I think they say this, but if they don't, they should, that you don't want to, you know, you don't want to have them read your bank statements or look at credit cards or anything like that, but, you know, or any sort of sensitive information, because they are volunteers. And you also, there's also kind of the understanding that because they're volunteers, you're going to get maybe different results every time. You do get a chance to mark a rating for the volunteer after you get off the call, whether they were helpful or not. And then the app will keep that in mind. But I found it very helpful the times that I've used it. Mine have all been very quick. As Meg said, I've mainly used it for color identification. But I found the volunteers very, very friendly, very helpful, very, you know, willing to explain things if anything needed to be explained. A lot of people I know use it for computer issues if they have computer problems. And sometimes people have even gotten lucky and they've gotten on the phone with a volunteer who is a techie and has been able to, you know, read the issue that they're having on their computer and also help them fix it. Now, that's not their job, but sometimes you get lucky in that way. But related to that, Be My Eyes has recently instituted a feature called Specialized Help. And what that does is that actually will connect you to a technical support representative from, in the United States right now, we can get access to Microsoft and Google. So it will connect you in the same way that you would to a volunteer, so through your camera, through a video call, to a representative from one of those companies in the tech support department. And they can, by looking at your computer, they can basically kind of help you troubleshoot the problem. And now they can't do anything remotely or anything through your computer because it's all over your phone, but they can help you troubleshoot things. They can help you read screens that won't read. So Specialized Help is a really great new feature. I've not had a chance to try it, but I've heard that people have used it to really good success. And Google was recently added. At first, it was just Microsoft for a while, but they're really looking to add more companies. So they also want people to let them know if there's a particular company that you'd like them to work with. So that's BMI Eyes. And as I said, it can actually do a lot of the things that seeing AI does, just in a different way. Seeing AI is artificial intelligence, and BMI Eyes is an actual person for the times when you definitely just need an actual person. So does anybody have any questions about BMI Eyes?
This is Duncan. I just want to clarify that people know that that is definitely a free app and free service.
Yeah, even the Specialized Help is free. You know, you can call up the Microsoft and Google representatives for free also, as a part of the app. So it'll be really great when we get even more companies involved with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Great.
So this is Chris again. So we're going to switch gears a little bit because what a lot of people always want is a GPS app. Now, I've never really been big on using specialized GPS apps. If I'm going to use an app to get either GPS, turn-by-turn, or transit directions, I'm going to use Apple Maps or Google Maps or Transit, which are all mainstream apps. But what I do like are the apps that they're essentially point of interest apps, so they're going to tell you what all is around you. Because sometimes it's just really good to know, what's around you, or if you're in a giant parking lot of a shopping center and you're trying to figure out where you want to go. There are travel techniques for that, for sure, but a good kind of supplement and addition to that is using an app like Microsoft Soundscape, another Microsoft app. Microsoft is kind of on a roll here, but so what Soundscape does is it uses its own built-in voice to give you information about what's around you, and you can tell it what you want. So if you're standing in a particular location, it has an around me feature, which gives you information about things that it sees in the four quadrants around you, basically behind you and to the left, behind you and to the right, and in front of you and to the left and right. This app works the best if you're wearing some type of headphones, because the audio will actually come to the side of your head where the location is, which is good for helping you find it. But I don't like, and we definitely encourage at the center our students not to, I don't like wearing headphones while I'm walking. So I can definitely use this app without headphones, or with what I typically do is if I'm walking, I'll put an earbud, not like a full over the ear headphone, but I'll put an earbud in the ear that is away from the traffic, and then obviously take it out whenever I cross the streets and things. But they say bone conduction headphones are really good with this app, but I think bone conduction headphones kind of feel weird. I don't know. But if anybody really likes them, they do recommend them for this app. But what it'll do is, like I said, if you're standing in a location stationary, you can ask it to give you the information about four places that are in the quadrant around you, or you can ask it to give information about things that it sees that are ahead of you, and it'll give you four things that are ahead of you if you're holding the phone flat in the palm of your hand. If you're walking, it will call out. It will call out places as you are passing them in the ear that on the side that it's on. So again, that's an example of, if I happen to be walking down the block, I'll get the information from the one ear because I don't like walking with headphones. But it has gotten a lot better with its call-outs. For some reason, it used to only identify churches, and now it does a lot better. It has a lot of restaurants, a ton of restaurants. It will identify a lot of different buildings and things. And what you can do is, if there's a place it doesn't identify, you can go to that place, like a bus stop. Bus stops are obviously always really hard for apps to identify. So you can go to that bus stop and you can set a marker so that next time you pass that bus stop, it will call it out to you. You can also set an audio beacon to a place. So say you're on the street that you know the bus stop is, but you're not quite sure, which direction it is from, the parking lot that you're leaving or something like that, you can set the beacon, and when your phone is laying flat and facing the direction of that bus stop, it will give you an audio signal to let you know to go that way. So it's definitely not turn by turn. You can't, you know, you don't want to set an audio beacon for something that's, you know, a few miles away that you're going to have to take a bus to or something like that. But if you're looking for a bus stop or if you're in a parking lot and looking for a particular store, audio beacons are really, really good for that. So that's the basics of how Soundscape works. And does anybody have any questions about that?
Yeah, this is Abir Sukar from Emporia again. The four quadrants you're talking about, what about, is it by adjustment? Can you adjust it to see something above you or something below you by adjustment?
That would be really cool. I do not think they do that yet because I've not tried them with indoor navigation, but that's not something they advertise. So I don't know if they could implement something like that. But I'm imagining you're thinking like if something is on a different floor from where you are.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
To my knowledge, they don't really do very well with indoor navigation at the moment. But you could definitely make markers indoors probably, but as far as noting things above or below you, it doesn't have that capability at the moment.
I see. I wanted to see something when I'm on one floor, and I wanted to see something downstairs, if I can see it right ahead of me. That's why.
Not right now. Not if it's not on the same floor.
Okay.
I mean, if you're facing, I mean, so the caveat here, if you're facing a flight of stairs and you want to know if the thing you're looking for is, you know, at the bottom of those stairs, you know, if you happen to be facing it, you could probably put a marker on it and have it point to that marker. I haven't tried markers inside. It would be definitely something, if you would be interested in trying that, it'd be definitely something to try how accurate the markers are if you set them in indoor locations.
Okay.
Absolutely. Any other questions?
Okay. Well, so this is Anahit, and I wanted to mention that Chris and I also found this another app that is very similar to this one, except it has an additional feature to it, and it's called Lazarillo. And the difference between the Lazarillo and the Soundscape is that once you find a point of interest, whether that's, you know, a restaurant or a store or whatever it is, it can actually give you walking directions to it, which I tried today, and I purposefully actually passed the location where I was going because I wanted to see what it would do, and it told me that. So I really liked that feature because, you know, especially if you're going through a busy street that has multiple locations, and of course we all have used no technology technique where you can open the door, walk into the store, ask what it is. Except, you know, if you are in a hurry and really need to find something, this, in other words, technology is definitely not the answer for every possible and impossible, situation, but it sure can be helpful. So as long as there is a good balance that we all use between, you know, using our travel skills and all the other techniques, just like Chris mentioned. So I did try this app today, and it actually did. I had to restart it once because it stopped working, but once I restarted it, it was fine, and it actually gave pretty good directions to where I was going and let me know that I passed it and I had to walk back to it.
Interesting.
So that was good. Yeah. Again, you know, when you know your voiceover commands, it is extremely helpful. What I found a little bit confusing in this app is that this is the one where there are two voices talking,
ooh,
the app's own voice and the voiceover. But again, you know, it's definitely, definitely doable because voiceover doesn't speak everything. you know, you just kind of can tune that out. And, you know, for us, for those who are using screen readers, we are used to tuning out what we don't need and listening to what we need. So that's definitely not the problem.
Okay.
So
good.
We have about 20 minutes. So somebody asked about shopping.
Yeah, Shelley asked about shopping online via your phone.
Yeah, so Shelley, could you clarify, are you wanting to learn more about grocery shopping or shopping in general?
Oh, I could do any of it. Actually, I'm thinking of stuff like, like even something like Amazon or something where you're, I'm just not familiar. I just have never tried much of it. You know, like downloading an app and, you know, using the carts and, you know, how to find the items of the, what's in the, you know, what's available or whatever.
Yes.
I don't know if that explains it enough. Because I know it's kind of lengthy. You almost have to do possibly one-on-one. I'm not sure. But,
yeah, and, you know, it's hard to cover it all in details. I
sure.
will tell you, and Chris, please, you know, chime in if you have a different opinion or different techniques. I will tell you that I much prefer shopping from an app rather than on a website because
okay.
it's just so much cleaner and
okay.
distraction-free.
Well, that's good to know. Okay.
Yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah. So it does not have on a regular website. Yes, there are, you know, different levels of links you can access and information, but you just have to navigate through so much stuff, and sometimes it's way too much information. Whereas in an app, what I do is I do not go just randomly looking at things because that is a rabbit hole and that can take 2.5 of my days. But
yeah.
what I do is if I kind of have an idea of what I want to get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for example, an Amazon app. So then I'll just keep, you know, using my voiceover gestures, find the search button, type in what it is I'm looking for, be
okay.
as specific as you can, and then it will give you the results. It will give you the results with the ratings, and you kind of figure out, narrow down from there. Still, you're going to have some additional information you're going to have to filter through, but I will tell you it is much, much more efficient than doing it on the website.
Okay, that's good to know because I know people that do the website stuff, but it sounds overwhelming to me, and so... That's good to know. Thank you.
Yes, of course, definitely. And, you know, if you have a quick question or whatever, feel free to call at any time. It's so good to hear you, Shelley.
Oh, I know. Same here.
Chris, so another kind of to add to that, what Anahi was saying, is that particularly with the Amazon app, every app does it a little differently, but this is for everybody. If you are using VoiceOver with the app,
mm-hmm.
and if you know how to use your rotor, the Amazon app actually puts the results in as headings. So each product is a different heading. So if you are familiar with navigating and shopping on websites with a screen reader at all, it's going to be a very similar experience, just the way that you get at it with gestures as opposed to keystrokes. But it's really set up in the same way. Now, not every app is going to be like that, but a fair number of the ones that I've looked at have been that way.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
But, you know, so Duncan just had a really great idea. Shelley, do you have, I was going to say Amelia, do you have Alexa, Amazon?
Oh, we sure do. Yep.
Yeah. So have you ever tried doing shopping?
Well, no, what I've done is, I I have talked, asked her to order. There was some specific thing that a friend of mine had looked up, so I kind of knew what it was called by the terminology on the app, and I did order that, but it's because I kind of knew what it was. It was a fabric shaver, and so I called it a fuzz buzzer, but my friend looked it up, and that was the official term was a fabric shaver. So I did order that through Alexa, but there again, I don't know if you could just ask her a question, and she'll give you an answer or options before you have to actually order it. That's what I didn't know.
If you are browsing, I would definitely use the app.
Right.
You know, if you know what you want, like if you're buying, oh, I don't know, just trivial things, right? Like, I don't know, paper towel. Or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
And for sure, using Alexa is a very good, efficient option. It's dangerously easy to do.
Yeah. Well, we are set up on the Prime, so I do know it can happen before you know it. If you're just even talking about things in the room, she can respond. So we've had to be careful of that.
Yes. So, great. So did that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It helps a lot. And
okay.
I'm looking forward to seeing you all at convention. So.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing all of you.
Yeah.
Are there other questions?
Yeah, we have about 13 minutes, so if you have questions,
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Ruth. I wondered about not just identifying money, but how does the PayPal setup, or I've heard about other apps you can use for transferring money, and sort of if there's one better than another other than PayPal.
So, you know, what I have discovered lately,
mm-hmm.
We bank with Wells Fargo,
mm-hmm.
and they actually are with the app. So I don't even worry about PayPal anymore. There is
uh-huh.
a service called Zeal.
What is that, Zeal?
Yes, it's Z as in zebra. I believe it's E-L,
Z-E-A-L.
Yes,
okay.
And it is ridiculously easy to use. You are not going to believe this. So if you have a bank that you bank with and have the app for that, you literally just go through your banking and say transfer money, you know, choose that
mm-hmm,
option,
mm-hmm.
and most 90% of the banks have it. You know,
mm-hmm.
if it's a smaller like credit union or something
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
not have it, but
mm-hmm.
most of the banks have relationships with the Zeal service,
mm-hmm.
and so all you have to do is say transfer through Zeal, and it's going to ask you what is the person's telephone number. This is
mm-hmm.
ridiculous, and literally
mm-hmm.
that's all it asks. So you just add the person's
mm-hmm.
phone number. First, you ask the person if that person is set up with Zeal, and it's super easy to. I mean, you don't really have to do anything.
Okay, and then you can also take money from, like, if a transaction, if somebody's buying something from me, then I could do this. I mean,
exactly.
If they have that system, then they could do the same thing and transfer money to me.
And it takes literally minutes for
mm-hmm,
the money
mm-hmm.
to get. So
okay.
super, super easy. PayPal, I use a lot, but... I also used an app called, oh boy, hang on a second. This is bad. This is how long I haven't used it, but Venmo.
How do you spell that?
It's V-E-N-M-O.
Venmo.
Yes.
Venmo.
That is another app that is, again, pretty easy to set up. It's very accessible, and it goes through your bank account.
Mm-hmm.
Here's why I stopped using it. We have Enter, so they deposit the money into that account. I stopped using it because you have very little control over, let's say I have $30 in my Venmo account, right? I want to pay somebody through there, and I also want to combine with my bank money. You can't do that very easily. So it's kind of limiting. So I, because I know my bank, because I trust my bank, hopefully, right? Just never know. And if somebody goes down, everybody goes down, yes? But I prefer now to do it through my bank because it's just so easy. I mean, you all you have to do is enter the person's phone number. That person gets added to your list, and you just next time you just go say, I want to send money, and it asks, who are you sending money to? And if you have three people in on the list, you choose one of them and put the amount, and it asks, do you want to put a note in there? And if you do, then you just dictate it or type it, and it's on its way, and it takes literally just a couple of minutes. It says it takes up to half an hour, but it never does. Very quick.
And if you receive money from somebody else, do you get their phone number too, or how, you know?
Yeah, so it will, hopefully that person is in your contacts, or it say, you know, a lot of times people have a little note with it. It will say, hey, Anahi, thank you for doing blah, blah, blah. Here's the money. You know, so exactly who it's from. And if somebody wants to randomly send me money, then great. But it doesn't happen, sadly. But it is a very, very efficient way of doing it. If you, you know, ask your bank and find out or have the app and cannot find, I mean, the link is there. You don't even have to do anything. But if you can't find it and have more questions about Venmo or any other app, PayPal or anything like that, yeah, just let us know.
Okay.
We'd be happy to help.
Okay.
Chris, did you have any questions?
I do, yeah. I actually have, I use two different ones, not for any particular reason, but so I use a combination of Apple Pay and the Cash app, which is through Square. Some of you are probably familiar with Square because a lot of the affiliates and divisions use it for payments for things. But both of those allow you to easily request and receive money. Apple Pay, you have to have an iPhone, and the person who is you're sending it to needs to as well. But the thing that I really like about Apple Pay is that you can just send them a text message with the money, basically making a request or receiving it, and then they go in and either accept it, or if they've got it set up that way, it automatically goes into their Apple Pay account. If you sent it to them, Cash is pretty much the same way, except you do it through the app, and you just put in what you want to request. And everybody has, you have to set up a Cash ID, but it will go through your contacts. It'll put your contacts in the app and say, this person has a Cash ID. So you don't have to, you can ask them for it, but if they're in your contacts, it's, the app's going to be able to pull it up. And a thing that I like about Cash also is that it will alert you if it feels like you've made that payment already. Now, it gets me every single day because I pay the babysitter every single day. But are you sure you want to send this to this person? Well, yeah. But it is really nice because it will kind of catch you if it thinks that you're trying to double pay somebody. So those are the two that I use. Again, not for any particular reason. I just find them particularly easy to use, which is good.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful to me.
Yeah, questions, Abiel. With so many apps that do similar things, identification, navigation, and all this, how do a fresh person getting into the application of these devices know which of them is the best? Is it by individual choice, or do I have to go through all of them before I know which is the best to buy, before I do buy one 2 days too early? How do I know the best out of these various devices doing the same thing? How many of them do you carry? Those of you that have spoken to us, how many of the devices do you carry with you when you're going out and apply each one separately?
So I can answer that, and then Chris, if you have something to add, you can do that. I would say, you know, it really, for me, for example, the fewer things I need to carry, the better. That's my motto. I don't want to track of too many devices. And also, if you can talk to people who use technology, don't ask for which one is the best, because truly, I guess what I would suggest is, what is it that you want to get out of a particular app, right? So, for example, Seeing AI. Well, it has a lot more channels than what I told you. However, none of those are very effective. They really are not. You know, like, there's like a scene preview or, you know, person identifier or something like that. So I don't want any of that. So when I am in my mind shopping for an app, so to speak, although, you know, all the apps we discussed were free, but I don't want too many things on my phone, okay? So when I'm trying to make a decision, which one do I get, I speak to people and say, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I don't want anything complicated. Or, you know what, some people are super technologically adventurous, and they want, you know, the step-by-step, inch-by-inch direction to, I don't know, some place or whatever. Knowing yourself, right, and what you are looking for, that's what's important. And then according to that, you know, describe that to a person. And then the person will say, well, I think these two might be a good match. So I would say if you can narrow it down to two, try them. One works best for you. Because just because it works well for, you know, person A doesn't mean it's going to be a good solution for everybody. Everybody makes, you know, wants different amount of information out of any piece of equipment.
And if you have an app on your phone that you don't want to use anymore, delete apps off my phone.
Oh, yeah.
It's very easy to do.
Yeah. So try it, you know, try to. Don't try them at the time, probably. You know, give each of them a couple of days and see how you feel about it. And then, okay, now I know kind of how this one works. Let me try the other one and see which one works best for you, because you are the person who is going to be using it.
Excellent. I think that's the importance of these conferences. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple minutes left. Chris, did you want to add anything to that?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
I want to know if anybody's used the Echo tablets. What's the difference in 7 and 8? Because I want Alexa on it, but on the 8, they removed the dictation, so you can't use your mic to type, which is a very big feature. Why they took it away, I don't know. Is it on the 7, and has anybody used it?
Are you talking about the iPhone? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, Echo, the Alexa tablet.
Echo, what do you mean by they removed dictation?
In other words, on the tablets, on the Echo 7 and the Echo 8, I bought the Echo 8, and you can't
read
dictation.
Are you talking about Kindle?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. So I actually do not know a whole lot about Kindles because they are not terribly accessible. So
they're very accessible.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, and that's great. I mean, this is why we have different options, right? And so you use a screen reader on it?
Yes, they have VoiceView, which is better than any other one I've seen.
Okay, well, great. So it's a matter of personal preference, right?
What I don't like is they removed the dictation. I want to be able to type emails, you know, talk text to type.
Yeah, that does not sound...
The only thing I don't like about that tablet, other than that, it's the best one out there for accessibility.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry about that, but yeah, I would not like no dictation. That would not be good. Definitely.
That's why I was wondering if anyone's tried the seven. I know he does. If the seven does it.
I don't know. Anybody on the call?
Yeah. I don't think anyone on the call knows the answer to that.
Yeah, I think that's
okay.
True. I'm not. I certainly. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think our time is over. Thank you so much for attending this
Duncan,
seminar.
Just before we leave, I just want to remind people of our next call because we are going to have another call.
Hey, yes, let's hear about it.
Tuesday, May 14th at the same time, same numbers, and it will be Jan Bailey, and she'll be talking about healthy eating and share some recipes, and she'll share some cooking techniques and so forth. So on May 14th, same time, same numbers.
That sounds good. Great. That sounds very good.
Yes.
Thank you
very helpful.
So much, everyone, for your attention. And thank you to Anahit and Chris.
Thank you, Anahit and Chris. It was very
everybody.
Good. Very helpful also.
Yes.
Thank
very
you. Good
job.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful day.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you all.